Second hour, next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Titans make the move yesterday, firing Brian Callahan after 23 games as the head coach of the Titans, 4-19, his final record. One game better than Ken Whisenhunt, by the way. So, you know, in terms of Titans' all-time winning percentage, Brian Callahan, not dead last.
Good for him. I guess you could say that's a little bit of a plus.
Glass half full for Brian Callahan there. Callahan has been let go. Titans going with Mike McCoy as the interim head coach. Yesterday, Brinker and Borgonzi talked about supporting Mike McCoy and giving him every chance to earn the job. I really hope that Mike McCoy is not actually being considered as the future head coach. And maybe he lights it up here and you end up having a Mike Mularkey situation. I doubt it, and I'd like them to go outside, because it's not like Mike McCoy wasn't here for the sucking for the first six games, especially on the offensive side of the ball.
Right, and the roster's still the same. It's not like you're bringing in generational talents after you fire your head coach, you know?
Right. I don't think this team's going to get much better this year with the roster they have constructed, but hearing that Mike McCoy is going to make changes to the offense, I think, is helpful, because Cam Ward was not helping himself, but they were just not putting him in positions where you are using his best abilities in this offense. Like, it was all the screens that wouldn't work, and throwing screens to Tyler Lockett with Chim Dike as the lead blocker. Like, let's change up some of those things that we know aren't going to work.
Like running the ball first play of the game up the middle.
Running the ball the first three plays of the game in obvious run formations. Like, again, it's not like they came out in shotgun and ran a draw to Tony Pollard, to Tajay Spears. They brought Corey Levin in as a fullback, and it's like, what do you think they're going to do here? They ran the football. And the game planning was not good. You finally saw Cam Ward show some progress at the end of that Cardinals game when he was in tempo, and then you just didn't use it, except for maybe a play or two during the first three quarters of the game. So
like owning a Ferrari and not putting it in sport mode.
Right. Not saying that Cam Ward hasn't had his faults, and he has. The accuracy hasn't been there. He's held the ball too long, but I'm excited to see, you know, they said that they are going to make offensive changes around Cam Ward to try and best use his skill set. I'm excited to hear from Mike McCoy, and we will find out hopefully soon when he's going to be speaking today. I have not seen a time listed. I thought maybe 11, because that's been when the coordinators speak, but I would guess we would have heard that by now if he was going to step up.
It could be prime time again at
7:30. Right, that's true. Maybe they're going to schedule it for 1:30 and then push it back. Maybe Mike McCoy resigns before the press conference. They have to go call through the Rolodex again.
Maybe they do it at, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Let's do a 10 p.m. press conference. Just bury the lead.
Making sure everybody out west is seeing this in prime time for them at 7.
Let's go back to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland is on the line. Adam, thanks for calling. Good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, man, it's Dustin from Hopkinsville, but I'll let it go.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Hey, not to take up other callers' time or nothing, but just some other things on my mind. Something I've noticed, and I'm not bashing Ward, He looked really bad Sunday, and it's the product of the coaching. You know, it doesn't stop there, it goes up, but we'll stop at the coaching. And she did one right thing in firing him before the end of the season, because if you see it, he's starting to do Will Levis things. He's starting to get scared. He's starting to not necessarily run for his life, but if you watch him back up in the pocket, he never stops backing up. He'll start going slower, but he's still two-stepping back there, okay? And these are bad habits. He's developing. He's regressing. He was looking pretty good, but there was some regression. I started to notice Sunday. And that happens because of another guy on the team, and you were talking about Simmons. Man, I didn't think Simmons was a leader, but once he lost that 20 pounds and said, I'm going to eat, he started gaining confidence in himself. Dude, he is becoming a leader. If he called out Latham, he was not wrong, because I was watching Latham Sunday. Dude, people weren't even trying. It's like Latham just kind of touched him how you touch your little girl to see if she's still breathing when she's awake because you check on them when they're little. You know what I'm saying? And I just watched. It was like they were waving him, saying, "Hey, how's your mom and them?" And what up, Cam Ward? Lighten his butt up. But I hate it for Cam Ward because he gets another season, in my opinion, next year. But so bad at the midseason, yeah. I mean, who are you going to have at backup? Or have you drafted another quarterback by now to come in? I don't know. Probably not. But you got to give him the whole next season. This is just – this is a recipe to make sure Cam fails. Like I've always said since they drafted him. If he succeeds, it's because of Cam. If he doesn't, it's the Titans.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dustin. And me and Nick were just having that conversation off the air of like, hey, Cam Ward, you drafted him with the first overall pick. He is getting all of this year and likely all of next year to prove that he can be the guy. And, you know, if he's not the guy, then you're in big trouble heading into the new stadium because you got to go find a new quarterback.
Yeah, and even if he isn't the guy, continue having him as your quarterback because you don't want to go pay extra money to go get a stopgap quarterback. If he's bad, he's bad because the whole team is bad. You got to build through the draft. That's the only way to rebuild the team. If you're four or five pieces away from a Super Bowl, sure, go out in free agency and grab a guy. But this team is far from a Super Bowl to the point where it's probably going to take them 2 to 3 years through the draft. If you have the first overall pick or a top five pick, you trade it back.
Yep.
Regardless of the quarterback situation, you keep Cam Ward as your quarterback, and you keep trading back top overall picks.
Yeah, I mean, they're building around Cam Ward. He is going to be the guy moving forward. The question is, can you develop him into a franchise quarterback and build around him? Like you said, if you can trade back, that'd be great. Get yourself some high draft pick assets that you can – you can get a wide receiver for Cam Ward. You can, if they bump Latham inside, maybe you get a tackle, like pass rushers. You just need so many pieces on this team right now. And I'm excited for Sunday because you do wonder the interim coach bump. Maybe this team did stop believing in Brian Callahan. Let's see what they do on Sunday with Mike McCoy in charge. The Titans are searching for a new permanent head coach, and the question I have is, what qualities do you want? Because, you know, there's so many different names being thrown out there right now, and a lot of them are similar in the way that, you know, previous head coaches, offensive guys who have developed quarterbacks. I think that's what I'm looking for, is kind of a pendulum swing back a little towards Vrabel. You don't want to go all the way back towards Vrabel. Vrabel had his own flaws. He was stubborn. He wouldn't fire his friends like Todd Downing and Shane Bowen when they weren't good at their job, Craig Aukerman. But you also got to have somebody who can command a room, knows how to be a CEO of a program, and that's why I think somebody with head coaching experience is a must in this. I like Joe Brady. I like some of the other names being thrown out there as, you know, up-and-coming offensive coordinators, but you just did that. And I really would love to see somebody who has proven that they can be a head coach at the NFL level.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to have an established coach for sure. And you want a coaching staff that has the experience. Like I feel like when the Titans brought in Brian Callahan and they brought in his dad, Bill Callahan, that was, to me, on paper, a good hire because he had the experience to develop, you know, offensive linemen. Hadn't really panned out for the Titans right now. But you got to have that going forward. You got to have that true experience. And don't let the resume be fool's gold. Actually base it off wins and losses. And don't just base it off of, I have experience of 16-plus years with XYZ quarterback here, XYZ quarterback here. Don't base it off that. Base it off of wins and losses this time.
Right. Let's go get somebody who has actually won at the NFL level.
Yeah.
And there's a name that's being put out there that I would be behind it if they go get him. We'll get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025. We will get to your phones as well. Titans moving on from Brian Callahan. Mike McCoy, the interim head coach. Bill Callahan also gone. Did want to mention that. Paul Kaharsky reporting that yesterday, that Bill Callahan will not stay as the offensive line coach of the Tennessee Titans, so they'll have to replace him there. Mike McCoy scheduled to speak at some point today, and we will get all of the updated coaches and the moves and all that kind of stuff. I guess Bo Hardigree maintains play calling. Nick Holes apparently is staying on staff too.
Well, I know why he's staying on staff, because he can't get another job in the NFL. I'll tell you that.
It's all good.
Up.
I'll stay here, actually.
Yeah, I'll collect a check while my best friend Brian's unemployed. So
615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Chad Brinker yesterday. I thought it was a great question by TD. I don't understand the confusion there of, like, who is going to be picking the next head coach? It's going to be collaboration, our favorite word around here.
And he was still confused while answering the question.
Yes. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly here, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
I heard Brinker squeeze in a collective in there.
Yeah.
Well. Not that
it's going to be a
clip, but collective.
Yeah, it'll be a collective decision from all three of them.
He's catching on collaborations, not the word to use.
I mean, it's a good question by TD, because with the way the organization is structured, you really don't know who is in charge these days. And, you know, it's going to be a collective decision with all of them to pick the next head coach. We will talk about some candidates coming up next. But first, let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tim is on the line. Wanted to talk about the Titans draft. Tim, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, before I get into that clip you just played is all the more reason Brinker has no business doing the job he's doing.
Yeah. No, I mean, It was a strange question to be confused about, because it's a very simple question from Teron Davenport.
Now, the deal about the draft. We keep saying we've got to build through the draft. Have you seen our draft history for the last 12, 15 years?
Yes.
How are we going to build when we draft the way we draft?
I mean, you can't base the way you build the next team based on the way you've built the past teams. Like, yes, you've had bad draft picks, but that's how good teams get good in this league, is you hit on your draft picks.
But if you don't remember the past, you were going to fail. You're going to future, you're going to do the same thing.
And
I don't know that we've learned.
Well, here's the thing, Tim. Like, when you trade back a top five overall pick, if it's number one, number two, number three, whatever, you're able to acquire more draft capital, which means you have a little bit more room for error. Sure, you need to hit on a lot of your picks, but it has to be over 50%. If you can hit over 50%, I think that's the right direction the Titans need to be going in. It's just right now they're so bad, everybody looks at it for face value, and it's kind of hard to really dictate how they can build out of the draft going forward.
How many first-round picks have we drafted that was on IR? I mean, they couldn't play because they were injured.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Like, Treylon Burks and Caleb Farley, those guys could never get healthy.
And then there was an offensive lineman, too, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, Isaiah Wilson had his own problems.
Well, I mean, that's because you're not doing your job finding out these problems.
Right, and that is why this team is in the spot that they are now, right, because they have not drafted well. But just because you haven't drafted well in the past doesn't mean you can just build through free agency. Like, you got to go find young, talented players.
I agree. What you're saying is correct. You got to build through the draft. But my point is, I don't know if the people we've got doing the draft need to be there.
That's a fair question. Thank you, Tim. And Borgonzi didn't have all those draft classes. Like, the draft classes that have this roster in the spot they are now were done by John Robinson and Rand Carthon.
Correct.
So, like, Borgonzi, the jury's way out on this draft class. But overall, I think you've seen flashes from all of them. Cam Ward has had his moments that make you think, yeah, this guy can develop into a franchise quarterback. Elik Iemanner's been solid. Chim Dike's been great in the return game. Gunnar Helm. Jonathan Vilma thought that Femi Oladejo was the second coming of Lawrence Taylor on Sunday. So, you know, there are things to be excited about with the current general manager, but I agree. Like, the reason this team is so bad is because the draft classes from 2020 to 2023 or 4 just have not been very good.
Yeah, and I mean, you alluded to it in the last segment before that, you know, Borgonzi's kind of cleaning a little bit of that up when it comes to scouting and all that. You look at Borgonzi, and I mentioned to Tim on the phone there, have to be over 50%. You look at all the guys you already just mentioned that have promise. To me, that's majority of the picks there. You're over 50% already. So you got to have a little bit of promise going forward.
Right. I mean, I think you feel good about this draft class 6 games in. Does that mean they're all going to be guys who get second contracts for you? No, but it's better than where the Titans have been over the last few years, where sometimes you get 6 games in, you're like, man, what were they looking at when they picked these guys?
And it gives them a baseline to go off of. You know, like, you don't have to, like you said, you don't have to be a second contract guy. They could be a part of the baseline of the rebuilding process of this team.
Right.
That's all you need. You just need something to base your talent off of going forward.
Well, and you need some of the guys who are still around from the previous draft classes to continue to grow. You know, Skoronski has looked really good this year. That's great. Latham and Sweat, those are supposed to be foundational pieces for your team in the trenches, and so far it has not been good for either of them. Injuries and, you know, stuff that we're hearing. J.C. Latham just tweeted, everybody want to overreact or something all these days. So, you know, clearly not happy about the quote that was put in the Athletic article this morning.
Look, if he disagrees with it, which obviously so, because he's a professional athlete, people want to, you know, respectfully say yes or no to things. Just prove it on the field.
Yep.
Just prove it on the field.
Right. And there's still 11 games left in this season.
Absolutely.
So, like, there's opportunities for the Titans to prove that they do have more young talent on this roster than maybe we think right now. And maybe a coaching switch can bring more of that out. But it remains to be seen right now. Right now, you look at this roster, and there's just not a whole lot of hope outside of Cam Ward and some of the young pass catchers. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Again, it's a small sample size of just any talent on this team.
Right. And we'll see. Sunday, I don't envision Sunday going very well for the Titans, but you never know. The interim coach boost, or the bump.
I'm just going to put it, it's not going to be pretty.
It's not going to be pretty at all. I haven't seen, has the line moved at all since Callahan got fired?
I haven't even looked.
It was 6.5 yesterday, which felt incredibly low, but we'll check on that. 615-737-1025. Let's go back to our phone lines. Neil from Nashville is on the line. Thanks for calling, Neil. What you got for us this morning?
I just want to say this. You know, watching that press conference yesterday, I'm scratching my head as a fan. Chad Brinker needs to take a step back, and they need to let Borgonzi do his job. He's a general manager. There's too many Indians and too many Chiefs running, making decisions. Let him hire the coach. Let him pick the players. That's what a general manager does. It's always worked that way in other organizations. It needs to do it this way. I don't care if everybody likes each other in the building. I just want to see winning football. It's not that hard. Keep it simple, Simon. I don't want to say stupid because I don't want to offend anybody. But just kiss it. Keep it simple, Simon. Let Borgonzi pick the coach. Let him pick the players. That's it. Brinker needs to take a step back, or Brinker needs to go. Thank you. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Neil. It's a good point. And right now, based on what they've said, Brinker says that every chance he can that Borgonzi picks the players. Right? Like, that is what we have been told publicly, is that Borgonzi picks the players. And I choose to believe them at this point. But, I would assume that Brinker is involved in every one of those decisions, too.
Yeah.
But Brinker may let Borgonzi pick the players unless, you know what? Actually, I don't like that player.
Yeah.
Let's pick this one.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if that's how it goes. It's like, Borgonzi gets to pick the players unless it's a player I don't want.
Right. Chaz, this guy's not a locker room guy. I don't want this guy.
Right. We don't know. And we probably never will, because they keep all that lock and key, you know, smoke and mirrors. Like, they cover it all up. We don't hear about it. But, right now, they outwardly put it out there that Borgonzi does pick the players. And I think that's the way it should be.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about if the line moved or not. It's now at 7.5. It opened up at 6, I believe.
Still too low.
Yeah. Hey, it'll probably climb.
Like, I don't see Mike Vrabel taking his foot off the gas on Sunday, right? Like, I really don't.
I'm going to call it right now. Jack Gibbons has an interception.
Oh, how many sacks for Harold Landry?
I don't know. He was knocked up last game with the he had a little injury. He had a little injury to his knee, I think. But I think he's all right. He was walking under his own power. So,
yeah.
If he has a sack, if he plays, I'll go 1.5.
Yeah. Who else do they have over there? They've got a couple other Titans, don't they?
Yeah.
Dr. Gibby, Harold Landry, what's his name? The linebacker who the Titans let go. He ended up being good with the Raiders and the Steelers. I'm blanking on his name. Robert Spillane.
Oh, Robert Spillane.
Yes, Robert Spillane, I believe, is on the Patriots too. So
all I got coming up is Landry and Gibbons.
Okay.
So yeah.
Gotcha. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We've been saying we're going to talk about possible head coaching candidates. We'll get to that next, but we appreciate all your phone calls. 615-737-1025 if you want to chime in. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 1025 The Game. That was one of the few Mike Borgonzi questions that we got to, or answers that we got to see last night, talking about why Mike McCoy will be good for Cam Ward the rest of the season. Because I said it, the main thing the Titans need to be worried about the rest of the year is how do you keep Cam Ward afloat before you get him to a permanent guy who can be his coach moving forward. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, 1025 The Game. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how the Titans get through the rest of this year, but obviously what everyone's looking forward to is finding the next head coach. And I mentioned I want a guy with head coaching experience. I'd prefer offense, but like an offensive-minded coach, but like if you brought in a Brian Flores and he was able to bring in somebody who's experienced as an offensive coordinator, like a Cliff Kingsbury or something like that, I could be behind that, but I think Mike McCarthy's the name. Like I said it even a couple of weeks ago. It just makes too much sense for this team. You know, you've got the connection with Chad Brinker, and we don't know what their relationship was like. Maybe Mike McCarthy doesn't like Chad Brinker. Maybe Chad Brinker doesn't like Mike McCarthy, but you can make the easy connection there. He's a guy who has won at the highest levels of the NFL. He's won a Super Bowl. He had three straight 11, 12 win seasons with the Dallas Cowboys. Like, he has won at the NFL level. He's developed good offenses around talented quarterbacks. And, you know, he can come in and be the CEO. He has proven that he can be the leader of an NFL program, an NFL franchise. And I don't know if you're finding that elsewhere. Like, yes, there are other options on the market with head coaching experience. Your Matt Nagy's, your Cliff Kingsbury's. Arthur Smith is a name that gets brought up. And I would be shocked if Arthur Smith didn't get an interview. But you don't have, those guys all got fired within 3 or 4 years as a head coach. Mike McCarthy, yes, he's been fired twice, but he's had success at both of his stops. I think it just makes too much sense.
Yeah. Again, we try to leave Chad Brinker out of the equation, but him and Mike McCarthy have some history in Green Bay. So I think, and plus Green Bay, they use that president of football operations hierarchy, if that's the best way to put it. They use that type of system. So I feel like McCarthy would fit in well with all that.
Yeah.
Maybe he's familiar with how things run that way. So if they're trying to adopt that, go ahead. But yeah, you're right. McCarthy would be a really good fit for the Titans, primarily because of what I said earlier and also what you said earlier, you got to base it off wins and losses. And McCarthy's a guy that wins more than loses. And you also mentioned, too, that you want to have a guy that's a CEO as a head coach. That is a guy that is a CEO as a head coach. He doesn't have to overrule everything like a front office man does, but he can learn. I mean, he doesn't have to learn. He knows how to delegate as a head coach. He knows that if I hire XYZ coach here, he's going to do his job. If I hire XYZ coach to DC, he's going to make this a really damn good defense going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Mike McCarthy, you look through his history, he's won 174 NFL games. He's won 11 playoff games. He's been to the Super Bowl. He's won the Super Bowl. He's been to four NFC championship games. Like, there is a proven track record of success with Mike McCarthy that you wouldn't get with a Matt Nagy or an Arthur Smith. Yes, I think those guys do have qualities that would make them good head coaches, mm-hmm. and they've been head coaches before, which is important. But it's hard to look at those guys and say, yeah, the second time's going to be better for them. For Mike McCarthy, he's done it, and he's done it successfully. I would be okay with Arthur Smith because I think Arthur Smith, having been in this building, in this city, with this ownership for as long as he was, like, I think he knows how things want to be done around here, and he would know how to build it up. So I'd be okay with Arthur Smith, but I think Mike McCarthy would be at the top of my list.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just throw an idea out there. Let's say if they do interview Arthur Smith and, you know, he doesn't get the job because McCarthy gets it over him. Would you think Arthur Smith would entertain the idea to be offensive coordinator with the Titans again? Because, think of it in Pittsburgh. He's only there 1 year. Aaron Rodgers is only there for 1 year.
To be the OC, maybe. I mean, I think it would have to be a lucrative offer, but, you know, coming back closer to home, I mean, obviously FedEx, Memphis. Like, yeah. And he spent so much time here, I wouldn't hate it.
Because if you think about it, Arthur Smith had a lot of really good years with the Titans. And if you understand that, not you, I'm just saying in general, like, the Titans need to spend the money to have a really good coaching staff. You can't just go hire these Joe Schmoes like a Nick Holtz and hopefully it works out. Kind of like with Brian Callahan and the head coach, hopefully it'll bail him out. You can't have a mediocre coaching staff that's going to bail you out and have a really good head coach in front of it.
Right.
You have to have a really good staff overall.
Right. And that's a very important point, too, is Brian Callahan's failure was just as much his actions as it was the staff that he built. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, Nick Holtz is not qualified to be an NFL offensive coordinator.
No. We even heard it in the press conference, too.
Colt Anderson was not qualified to be an NFL special teams coordinator. And he tried to amend those things, you know, bringing in John Fossil. He gave up play calling, but, like, it was too little too late at that point. Yeah. And you need to bring in a guy with experience who can build a staff of guys who know what they're doing, especially on the offensive side of the ball, for your young quarterback. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Getting lots of suggestions on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben suggests John Gruden. Would it shock me if he gets an interview? No. Would it shock me if he became the head coach of the Titans? Yes. Yeah. I think that ship has kind of sailed for him. I understand the legal stuff, but I think John Gruden, I think he's fine being in media now, and I don't know if he would be a very good head coach when you bring him back.
Yeah, I think his tempo right now would probably be college if a job opened up there. He's just, like you mentioned, he's great with the media. He's with Barstool. He's hitting that younger demographic.
Yep.
I think he has more influence on that younger demographic where he has more control over a roster in that aspect. So college, I think, would be his better fit because we see it with Deion Sanders. If he were to make the jump to NFL, it's all the same playing field. You're
right.
Getting paid the same
as him. And you can't recruit in the NFL,
right,
which I think would be an advantage for John Gruden. Chip from Mount Juliet makes a good point here, and I don't expect either of these guys to be fired, but if John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin would come available, that's where I would lead. Yeah, I think if either of those guys come available, Harbaugh more than Tomlin, I would say, but both of them, I think you run and say, how much money is it going to take for you to come be the head coach of the Titans?
I mean, John Harbaugh's not a off-the-beaten-path option because, I mean, right now the Ravens are 1-5. I don't think they'll get rid of him, but, like, if that does become an entertaining idea, I mean, hey, jump on it as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think McCarthy, Harbaugh, Tomlin, like, those would all be hires that, at the very least, it gets you back to competitive football,
right?
Like, that, and that, Dustin from Hopkinsville just said that. Like, Mike McCarthy, if you bring him in here, it's not going to look like what it's looked like for the first 6 weeks of the season, right? Like, you're not going to look overmatched by these teams. And yes, the roster would likely be better after this offseason when you've got $125 million in cap space and hopefully a trade down from a high pick in the draft. So the roster would be better, yes, but I just can't see Mike McCarthy putting an offense out there that looks just as incompetent as what we've seen so far.
No, because he's built a resume and a credibility for himself that we have good teams. Like, we as in, like, him. If you have a good offense, it's going to be, under him, it's going to be great. And he doesn't want to put out a terrible product. And that simply is that. So if you go out there and you're under Mike McCarthy's staff, you're going to win football games, period. Because that's what it needs to be dictated off, wins and losses. And he has more wins.
And again, he's worked with Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott, who you can like Aaron Rodgers or not. Like, Aaron Rodgers, when he was under Mike McCarthy, was a highly productive quarterback. And Dak Prescott the same when he was in Dallas. So I think that would be good for the growth of Cam Ward. That it's not somebody who's learning on the job with Cam Ward, kind of like Callahan was.
Right.
It's a guy who's done this before and can come in and command that room and say, Cam, this is what we're going to do to put you in the best position. Here's what you need to do to be good enough to be our franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and you mentioned a question at the beginning of the segment. How can the Titans currently help Cam Ward develop the rest of the season? Under Mike McCoy, I think it was in that clip we returned with, Phillip Rivers, and I think Drew Brees was in that clip as well. All those guys were pocket passing quarterbacks. And that's something I think Cam Ward lacks in his game right now. If you can just bring a little bit of some NFL veteran leadership in the old school way of playing football, drop back and pass and not improvise and run around like you're in the backyard or at recess. I think that would help him as a maturing quarterback in this league.
Yeah, and we can talk about that more on the other side. What can Mike McCoy and this offensive staff do now that Brian Callahan's out the door to put Cam Ward in the best situation for the rest of the year? 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Lenny says, how about a guest head coach each week? You could take the next man up philosophy.
I love that. Just
roll somebody in and out. Hey, week one, John Gruden. Week two, Mike McCarthy. Hey, week three, we got a big one for you. Nick Saban's going to coach this week.
Oh, boy. Love it.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will continue to take your thoughts. The Titans firing Brian Callahan after 23 games, a 4-19 record during his tenure in Nashville. Mike McCoy is the interim head coach, and he is going to speak to the media at 1 p.m. today. So make sure you keep it tuned right here to 1025 The Game. I'm sure Chase and Big Joe going to be taking that when Mike McCoy steps up to the podium. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly with you on this Tuesday morning. Next man up. 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Alongside you on this Tuesday, Titans firing Brian Callahan yesterday. A 4-19 record over his 23 games as the coach of the Titans. And now the Titans give it over to Mike McCoy. And he will speak at the podium at 1 o'clock. Expected to announce some changes, whether that is with the Titans staff, and I believe the main one, Bill Callahan, will not be the offensive line coach anymore. Felt pretty obvious that he was not going to stick around after his son was let go. But I'm excited to hear Mike McCoy's vision for this offense, because clearly one of the biggest, if not the biggest reason that Brian Callahan was fired was there wasn't development of Cam Ward happening, at least to the naked eye out there, it looked like Cam Ward was getting worse from week to week. So how is Mike McCoy going to build this offense to play to Cam Ward's strengths? And even though likely Mike McCoy is not going to be around next year to develop Cam Ward, how can they put him in the best situation to succeed whenever the next coach does come in?
Primarily, like, you know, the Titans would rely on the run game early in their games this past season so far, the first, six games. Under Mike McCoy, I think you just have to open up play action a little bit more. I think that's something that we haven't seen with Brian Callahan's coaching, especially just calling plays in general. Play action game's been obsolete. And if you can just take the top off the defense, that opens up a lot of the stuff underneath. It opens up the run game as well. Like, it just makes your offense a little bit more competent. I'm not saying he didn't have any competence when it came to football, but I just think he lacked a little bit of it.
I just think there also needs to be a willingness to keep doing what works.
Yes.
Like, think of how many screen passes they've run in these first 6 weeks and how many of them have actually worked. It's probably like 5%. But the play-action boot where you get Cam Ward on the run and have a crosser running with him, how many times have we seen Cam Ward hit that every time he's run it? And, you know, it's probably only been 4 or 5 times throughout the season. Like, I hope there is more of a willingness to say, hey, our young quarterback does this really well. Not that you can do it every other play, but, like, let's make that more of a part of our game and layer plays off of that to get the defense off balance. It just felt like there was no willingness to adjust the offensive game plan because I guess Brian Callahan just wanted to stick with what he thought would work, even though clearly running screen passes every other play was not working for this team.
Yeah, and this may not have anything to do with Cam Ward at all, but when it does come to the run game, and you mentioned earlier in the show about Corey Levin being there as like the fullback per se, to me that's concerning for the offensive line because that means you don't get enough push. Or if you do get the push, you're just adding an extra body in there to get, you know, open up a hole or something like that. For me, that's concerning because as a former fullback, if you didn't get the push on the offensive line, you had to add the fullback in there. And so it's just an extension of the offensive line in a roundabout way, an extension of the run game. Go ahead, Parker.
You do fit the fullback personality.
Yeah, I could see that from you.
That was me.
I never knew you played fullback.
Yep, fullback. That's cool. And inside linebacker. Yeah.
That's cool.
So,
yeah. No, and I'm with you too. Like, they should be able to run the ball without that, but I also get it with the protection issues and everything. Like, sometimes it makes sense to put another guy out there. And I will give them credit. I believe Corey Levin was on the field for the David Martin Robinson touchdown.
Yep.
So they did layer something off of that later in the game, but it was too little too late. It's like the first two drives of the game, frustrated me to no end on Sunday, where it's like you just go run out of a three tight end set, run with a fullback in, run out of goal line, punt. Like, yeah. that was exactly what they did. And then they come back out, and it's like, all right, let's run tempo for Cam. We're going to run two screen passes to Chig and Chim that go nowhere. And it's like, now you're in third and 10. I want them to show that they know how to adjust to the flow of the game, I guess is what I'm saying. Right. And adjust to your young quarterback, who, again, in that final quarter against Arizona, he made plays. I understand you can't there are different elements to that of why he was able to make plays. You know, the Cardinals are sitting back in soft zones and you're playing tempo because you have to. But try and bring elements of that to your everyday game plan to make Cam Ward feel more comfortable.
Absolutely. And like you said about tempo in the fourth quarter, and you can take some of that out of there, but imagine if you ran tempo in the first quarter. Imagine if that actually worked out. Like, just switch up the game plan. Make it reverse if need be.
Right.
I just think you just have to have something to freshen up this offense.
Well, and just, like, get Cam Ward in a rhythm early.
Yeah.
Like, I hate the three runs to start the game, because now you come out and the Raiders had just ran, like, a 10-minute drive down to kick that field goal to go up 3-0, and it's like, all right, we're 13 minutes into this game, and Cam Ward still hasn't thrown the football yet. I'd like to see, and I'm not saying you have to run the ball on first or throw the ball on first down all the time. I want to see Pollard involved. I want them to establish the run game. But when Pollard runs for 3 yards on first down and it's 2nd and 7, why are you bringing in Corey Levin and just basically telling the defense, yeah, we're going to run it again? I would love to see, you know, you get 2-3 yards on first down, let Cam Ward go try and make a play. And I hope that Mike McCoy announces, and he, again, his press conference is coming up in a couple of hours. I want to hear his plan for Cam Ward moving forward, because it is tough at this point where there's nobody with any kind of stake in Cam Ward on this staff right now, because a lot of these guys probably aren't going to be around next year. Yeah. Like, to them, it doesn't really matter for their future with this team whether Cam Ward is able to develop or not.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Nick Holtz is going to be calling some people trying to find his next job. Bo Hardigree is probably going to be doing the same. How can this team put Cam Ward in the best situations to succeed when no one is really tied to him moving forward?
It's tough. You're right. That's a tough thing to accomplish, because it's solely going to be coming off of Mike McCoy and the experience he has to help Cam Ward, I guess. To me, I think McCoy might be around next year.
And they did say that yesterday of, like, we're going to give Mike McCoy every opportunity to earn this job.
Yeah, and I think if you see signs of progression with Cam Ward and it's under Mike McCoy, I think he's deserving to stay on staff.
Are we getting history repeating itself again, where quarterback guru with a rookie gets fired 6 games in, or actually 7 games in, because it was a 16-game schedule last year.
Right.
Same amount of games, different split. And Mike M takes over and earns himself the full-time job as the interim.
I mean, it's possible. Let's say if Mike McCarthy's not out there, or if he is out there but he doesn't want the job, or he doesn't get the job, and McCoy shows up and they win 5 games, 6 games, I think there's a true case where he could end up being the next head coach for the Titans.
I wouldn't put it out of the question. I would prefer an outside guy, but again, Mike McCoy, that's why you gave him 11 games to go try and prove it, and
right.
And he will be the interim head coach moving forward. It's all about Cam Ward. It is. And how can you put Cam Ward in the best position to be the guy next year? Right? Because, like, this year, they're not winning many more games.
No.
It doesn't matter who the head coach is. They are not going to win more than maybe 3 more games the rest of the year.
Would it be silly to say, for Mike McCoy, if he's trying to actually go after this job and be the next head coach for the Titans, would it be silly to say that he can kind of compartmentalize the schedule, and let's say he goes up against the Browns or the Saints, the teams that are at the bottom of the barrel, and really unloads the offensive playbook on those teams to really show what he has as a coach, as a coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you got nothing left to lose,
yeah.
Right? Like, unload the clip. Like, let's just you go down swinging, see what this team can do. Dustin from Hopkinsville, and I know this is kind of the train you're on too, He says, honestly, not popular, but instead of letting him regress, after three games, if it's even worse, you have to sit Cam, doing him no favors.
You know, that's not a bad take there, because you've already lost the locker room, not from Cam's perspective, but as a head coach where Callahan's not there anymore, the locker room's lost. They're all walking in, collecting a check, trying to figure out what they're going to do for their next, I don't know, they're already thinking of Cabo, probably. I mean, to be honest with you, there's no direction. You have Cam Ward as your quarterback. Sure, it hurts the development of Cam Ward, but maybe having him sit a game or two to kind of just see what Brandon Allen can do back there under center, maybe that's something he can learn from. Maybe it's the – Joe hates this, the mental reps. Maybe he's able to learn off that. I don't know.
I can't get behind that because of the message that it sends
to everybody,
your fans, your players, their coaching staff. Like, because this wouldn't come from Mike McCoy. No. It would be a decision from Prinker and Borgonzi to say, sit Cam down.
Right.
And the message that sends, I think, is just not – it's not good.
Now, another valid reason to sit Cam, and again, I'm kind of feeling the same way, but like another valid reason is if this offensive line is just to the point where they're so bad, you're going to injure your franchise going forward.
That's fair.
And that's my only other reason to say, hey, sit Cam.
And if Bill Callahan's gone, these guys, the group you have has proven to be shaky at times. I could see that if he's getting hit a ton, you make up an injury or something.
Yeah.
And just say, hey, Cam, like, we're going to let you heal this up. And not make up an injury, but like.
But we've seen enough.
Let's say there's soreness or something. It's like you kind of embellish it and say, we'll sit you down. I could see that if it continues to look really bad for the next month or so, coming out of the bye week maybe.
Because that's why I brought it up a few weeks back, because he showed up on the injury report.
And it
was a lower body injury. I'm just thinking, oh boy, here we go again.
I still think the best thing for Cam Ward is to play, but
sure.
I'm not going to say like that couldn't happen if things continue to get bad. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I'm not going to spend much more time on this. We had this conversation yesterday, but 6932 says it seems to me that everybody that said the Titans should have traded out of the first overall pick is vindicated. Our season doesn't look any different with Cam Ward than had we traded out for a haul. Just think, we could have had Carter, Dart, and a second top three pick next year and other compensatory picks. Oh, it has been six games. We did this yesterday, not doing it again. It has been six games. I still think the Giants straight up would take Cam Ward for Jackson Dart.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not going to take the bait again. It's
Remember, the sample size is Russell Wilson. You just have to be better than Russell Wilson.
Right.
That's as simple as that.
Well, and like, has Jackson Dart really looked all that good? Like, yes, they've won some games, which Cam Ward hasn't done.
Right.
But he also threw two picks and lost to the Saints 2 weeks ago. So, like, let's pump the brakes. Cam's played six games. Dart's played three. Let's see where they end up at the end of the year. Like, Will Levis got 20 games before everybody collectively gave up on him.
Right.
The Bengals game was when it's over. Cam still got 14 to get to that point. Let's see what happens now that Brian Callahan's gone, and see if they can develop him in an offense that more fits his skill set.
Right.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll continue to talk Titans on the other side. I am ready to catch the strep, I think. We're going to talk about that next. Jay Kleiman, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.